When I was preparing for this sermon, there was a little bit of a, all right, I've preached this passage in the last 2 years, and there was just a little bit of me that's like, all right, well, what am I going to have that's new or different to say from the last time? And we know that Scripture's unchanging, but one of the things that also I believe with all of my heart is that the Holy Spirit speaks to us at different times with a different message, even from the same Scripture. And one of the things that happened as I was studying this passage is there was one phrase that just jumped off the pages to me. It was a phrase that I had read over and over and over again. But it hit me this time differently than it has in the past. And I hope that it will reach you and that it will touch your heart as we study this wonderful passage about the proclamation of Jesus' birth. Let's take a moment to pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much that you love us, that you favor us, that you have given us grace. And Lord, as we study this passage where Mary is being told about the mission that you have for her, that you had for her, Lord, I pray that we would join in that holy calling, that we would be changed and transformed, that we would become more like you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we are going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and if you have, or you guys have pew Bibles there in front of you or next to you, and it's on page 555. I saw that it was on page 555, and being the weird person that I am, I wondered, all right, what's on page 666? Since so many think of that as the mark of Satan, and I looked, and lo and behold, it was right in the middle of the book of Revelation. But just thought it was kind of funny and hit my sense of humor. But let's start in chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month. Now, when it says the sixth month, it's just come out of talking about the fact that Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And so it's in the sixth month of her pregnancy that this happens. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Verse 21 or 28 is the verse that really just jumped off the page to me as I was getting prepared for this message, as I was looking forward to the Christmas season. And I'll let you know, the only reason I realize that it's Christmas season is because I have to prepare ahead of time for messages. I cannot understand how it is already Christmas time. We're a week and a half away from Christmas Day. This is insane. We've had our first major, major snow. But I was getting ready for this message and trying to get my heart in the right mood for Christmas. I'm a firm believer that we shouldn't start celebrating Christmas until after Thanksgiving is over. And this year, I think I took that a little overboard. It was a little bit past Thanksgiving when I started being willing to listen to Christmas music. And so I was studying this passage, trying to get ready for the Christmas season, trying to get into a season and a passage that I've already preached, wondering, how am I going to bring something new? How am I going to bring something that I haven't told them in the last 2 years? How is this passage going to reach us where we are at? And so I began studying the stories that lead up to the birth of Jesus. And I was in Luke 1, and I got to verse 28, and this passage, this verse, just jumped off to me. "Greetings, O favored one." God is saying to you today, "Greetings, O favored one." God is speaking to you, and He wants you to know that you are favored. He wants you to know that you are loved. He wants you to know that He is a heavenly Father, and there is a special place in His heart for each and every one of you. And so He is calling out to you. He is speaking to you, and He is saying, "Greetings, favored one." He's saying, "I love you. I love you more than you could possibly know." And as we see what's happening in the life of Mary, we can see something that is different from what we necessarily feel like we experience on a day-to-day basis. Some of you are not feeling very favored. Some of you aren't necessarily feeling that you are loved by God. Things may be going on in your life right now that just make you feel like you're abandoned by God. Things that make you feel like God doesn't love you. And you've lost sight of the fact that if an angel were to come to speak to you like Gabriel came and spoke to Mary, that angel would greet you in the same way. Greetings, O favored one. Letting you know that you are loved by God. Letting you know that God has a message for you. I'm here to tell you that we have a greater blessing than having an angel come and speak to us. I'm not saying an angel never will come and speak to you, but we have a greater blessing than an angel coming to speak to us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God Himself inside of us. If we trust Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes on us and lives in us and speaks to us. And the Holy Spirit can speak to us saying, "Greetings, favored one. I love you. You are mine. And I want you to know how much I love you." I think that part of the reason why so often we feel so unloved by God, why we may feel so abandoned by God, is we don't necessarily recognize the way that God works or the lives that His favored ones endure. God never promises that you will have an easy life. He just doesn't. And the guy we worship is Jesus Christ, a homeless Galilean peasant. Who died on the cross. Who says, "Pick up your cross and follow me." The cross is not some lovely thing. He's not saying, "Pick up the little thing on your necklace and follow me." He's saying, "Pick up the bar that runs across. The same bar that I was nailed to. And follow me." We often think that if God loves us, He'll give us a comfortable life. Let's use Mary as a case study this morning. Is Mary going to have an easy life? No. She had to travel while she was pregnant with Jesus. On a donkey through treacherous terrain. I mean, doctors tell women who are that far along not to go on long road trips, not to take an airplane. And Mary rode on a donkey. Because a census was being taken. The rest of Mary's life, she was going to be called a whore because people didn't believe what God had done. And to top it all off, she would see her son brutally murdered. One of the most horrendous types of murder that the world has ever seen. I want you to see that following Jesus, that being favored and loved by God, does not mean that life's going to be easy. It doesn't. And too many of us, and I am included in this, make comfort our God rather than Jesus our God. And when we don't have comfort, when we don't have it easy, when things aren't going well, we look at God and say, "All right, you don't love me. Why are you letting this happen?" And we're judging God based off what we want and the God we want him to give us. Comfort, ease, financial security. And God never promises those things. He says, "Pick up your cross and follow." So I want you to understand that being favored by God and loved by God does not mean that things are going to go easy for you. What it means is God is going to be with you every step of the way, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. He's going to be there. He's going to be walking with you. He's going to be carrying you the entire way. But he's going to be taking you like he took Mary through some rocky paths, through some dangerous roads. But how is she greeted by the angel? "Greetings, O favored one." I want you to know that God loves you. He does. If he didn't, he wouldn't have sent Jesus to die on the cross in our place, in your place, in my place, in the place of the world. God loves you. I want you to know it. And there will be times when I'm sure, like Mary, when she was getting mistreated or when she was seeing her son up on that cross, she didn't feel like she was being loved. She didn't feel like she was being favored, but she knew the truth. And I want us to recognize that often when we get into those positions where we're thinking God doesn't love us, God's abandoned us, God's left us on the side of the road and he's gone off, he hasn't gone anywhere. That's probably one of the times where he is working the most in you. He is making you who he wants you to be. He is accomplishing through you what he wants to accomplish. Granted, every time you have hardships, don't say, "Oh, I'm favored by God." Sometimes it's our own doing. Sometimes we've dug a pit and fallen into it, as Proverbs says. But God loves you. And don't assume that he's run away because you've hit a hard time. But instead, respond like Mary responded. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." That's in verse 38. When you see hardships coming, do you say, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word? Or do you say, God, give me my idol of comfort? I know I've said, give me my idol of comfort too many times. And it's a battle I have to fight over and over again, as I want to be comfortable. We want to be comfortable. We long for Eden. We long for the way that God created the world before sin entered. We want things to be peaceful. We want things to be easy. We want to always have the felt presence of God where we feel Him as He's walking next to us in the garden. But that's not the way that it always works. In fact, until we get to heaven, that's probably not the way it's going to work. Granted, God sometimes gives us seasons of more peaceful times, of more comforting times. One of my pastor friends calls it the blessings and the blastings. In ministry, in the life of being a Christian, we always seem to be in one of two phases. We either seem to be in a blessings phase or we seem to be in a blastings phase. And those times when things are good, enjoy it and let your soul be nourished, because there's a blasting coming. And things aren't going to be going well forever. Get prepared in this time of comfort for the time that is coming when things are not going to be as easy. Our God is so amazing that even though He calls us to pick up our cross and follow Him, He gives us seasons to prepare us for carrying that cross. He gives us what we need, not always what we want. But He does give us what we need. Let's go back to verse 30. There's a point that I really want to make to you. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. One of the things that I love about this word favor here that we find in verse 30, I'll let you in on a little secret about the Greek language. It's the same word as grace. You have found grace with God is another way of translating this verse. God didn't approach Mary because she was the best, most awesome, most perfect woman from the line of David that there ever was. God chose Mary because He gave her grace. I want you to remember, as we look through all the characters of the Bible, that none of them except for Jesus are perfect. Every single one that finds favor with God, it's not based on the fact that we have earned it. It's not based on the fact that they have earned it. It's based on the fact that God is a God of grace. That God is a God who doesn't give us what we deserve, but instead gives us forgiveness. He gives us blessings when we deserve curses. And our God is so amazing. And I want you to know, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. It is easy to give into fear. It is easy to look at what God has called us to and lose heart. Do not be afraid. You have found favor. You have found grace with God. It's nothing we've done, but it's the fact that God is who He is, and that He has chosen to love us. He has chosen to give us grace. He has chosen to reach His arms around us and say, I will carry you through the hard times that I am calling you to. If you're going through a time where things are going easy and it has just been season after season of comfort and easiness, I hate to tell you this, but you're probably not in the will of God. You're probably not. When we look through Scripture, when we look through the way God works, He doesn't give us these long, huge seasons of everything being wonderful. When everything's wonderful, we're not that moldable. He can't remake us into His image. We can't look more like Him. I want you to see that God is calling you to more than a comfortable life. God is calling you to more than just, I had this season of discomfort in my past. God is calling you to a mission. God is calling us to a mission. And when God calls to a mission, it will be a battlefield. It'll be a battlefield within us. We will encounter opposition. People will not like it. We will feel like we are walking all alone. But remember, listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks into your soul. Greetings, O favored one. Scripture says that He will never leave us or forsake us. God loves you. He loves you so much that in this time of Christmas, as we look and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, what we get to remember is that God gave us the greatest Christmas gift anyone has ever received. He gave Himself. Jesus, God eternal, left the comforts of heaven, left the praises of His angels, and came down to be a poor Galilean peasant, that there was no room in the inn for. He had nothing. And He lived the sinless life that we could not live and died the death that we should have died. It wasn't easy. but he has gone ahead of us. And he was raised from the dead. And if we trust in him, we will be too. One of the great things about picking up our cross and following Jesus is the fact that we know after that cross, there's a resurrection. It doesn't end in the cross, but that is a part of the journey.